right, let's start. I'm not going to wait anymore, otherwise, because I want to find out what's happening. I'd like to welcome Minister Igor Lukšić from the Republic of Montenegro. You probably all know him. He's been here before. We were here for various conferences and meetings at the centre. It's a great time, actually. This is the first roundtable actually we've done this year with Montenegro, which we're now renaming as what was once the policy forum as a partnership forum, because I think the idea is to build a stronger U.S.-Montenegro partnership, not just in diplomacy and political relations, but more concretely in economic relations, business, and security ties between the two countries. So your timing is excellent. Thanks for being here. We're recording everything, so you'll be on our website for people to access. So we look forward to your comments. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here and discuss the most recent developments in Montenegro, as it is going to be soon 1 year of independence on the 21st of May, so in a month now. In the meantime, I think there's been very good developments in both political sphere and economic sphere for Montenegro in the last 1 year. I think one of the best indicators is very recently improved Standard & Poor's credit rating for our country, which has been increased from BB to BB plus, following the fact that our political risk has diminished and we have reverted budgetary deficit to budgetary surplus last year and continuing to be this year, which were the main arguments to keep it stable at the BB level in 2005. In 2006, we had a referendum which went very smooth. It was a peaceful and democratic process, and following our September elections, we've got a government which is supposed to organize Montenegro political and economic life for the next 3 to 4 years. In the meantime, in the political field, quite good achievements. Very recently, we have initialed the document, or actually the agreement, stabilization association agreement, and we hope to formally sign it, after all procedure has been done by the European Commission by the end of, at the latest, by the end of June this year, within the German presidency. We have joined recently Partnership for Peace, and actually we've been invited to join Partnership for Peace, and very recently we have approved by our government so-called presentation paper initiative, which is the first document which tells about government's priorities in that field. Also, we have managed very soon to rejoin all the institutions, the relevant international institutions such as UN, OSCE, the IMF, World Bank, European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, and so on. We've been quite fast in managing to sort out all the issues which were open on the day of independence. At the same time, politically, the main challenge which is ahead of us is bringing a new constitution. And we are now in the final stage of passing it through the parliamentary procedure. Actually, our parliament has passed the first draft with quite significant majority, but thanks to the fact that the first draft includes alternatives to certain provisions. Now it's been publicly debated, and hopefully by the end of next month, it could be again back in the parliament for the final approval, which should help us bring in the new constitution and further stabilize the political system. These days, we are going to join the Council of Europe, and first it was precondition, and then they agreed that all political parties join set of key principles, so our constitution is not a precondition to join the Council of Europe. So these processes are going to economically, I think we could be proud of what's going on in Montenegro in recent years, but especially last year and beginning of this year, being very, very positive for us. The fact that last year was the year of political resolution for some of the key and basic implications for our country. And at the same time, we had quite good economic year with very good macroeconomic outlook. Tells that people already expected that the political climate would be beneficiary to their investments, to the overall development of the country. Last year's GDP growth, real growth, has been estimated to reach 6.5%, with nominal growth over 8%, and with very low inflation, which is at the Eurozone level, 2.1%. At the same time, the fact that we are using euro already some time helps us keep macroeconomic stability. As I've already said, our budgetary deficit, which has been a history-long problem for Montenegrin economy, has been converted to budgetary surplus for the first time, I think, in our history. We had last year this budgetary surplus. But that's not it is not privatization proceeds to be thankful for that. Apart from privatization proceeds, our tax revenues were overperforming, and that was the reason why we had the budgetary surplus. So that's one more indicator how positive economic climate in Montenegro is. At the same time, we have been carrying the policy of cutting public debt, and right now it is about 35%, which includes both foreign debt, mainly consisting of the old socialist Yugoslavia debt, 2% to 8% when it comes to foreign debt, and the rest is the newly accumulated in the past couple of years investment-oriented debt from World Bank, EBRD, EIB, and so on, which we use to invest in our infrastructure. The rest, about 10% is forming domestic debt. There are two main issues with regards to domestic debt. One is frozen deposit bonds, which was the characteristic of all the ex-Yugoslav countries. In the early 90s, the banking system collapsed, and in order to retrieve the confidence of the banking sector, several years ago, government assumed those wasted deposits as public debt. It was a good move because it was one of the very important elements to build a new bank, restructure and build a new banking system. We've been successfully paying back tranches since 2004. The second very important program we have embarked upon and is affecting our public debt is the restitution. As government in 2004 entered the MES, the denationalization program, which is now adding up to the bill, the public debt bill. But for us, property rights schemes are very important, and building confidence into the private property and showing that the government is committed to create legal framework which is going to protect property and protect the contracts with regards to private property trading is something which we really think, which we really take as one of the most solid elements of rule of law and future economic development. With regards to the structural reforms, we managed to do a lot in the past several years. First and foremost, we have reached 85% of privatized economy. So what remains to be privatized is electricity company, railways, airports, Montenegro Airlines, Port of Art. And almost none of these companies are in 100% government ownership. So already electricity companies, one for it, private owned, and so on. So we have already opened up that process, and we're going to continue following the privatization strategy that are going to be asked in the course of this year for all those companies. In other fields, such as banking sector, we are at 99% of privatized economy, and there is no more direct state property in the banking sector. The same accounts for the insurance, because government has now majority in none of the insurance companies and many sectors. The key development sectors, industries in Montenegro are obviously tourism. which has been accumulating high amounts of investment in the past years, and according to the World Tourism Organization, we've been the fastest growing market in the world already some time, already 3 years. And we're going to continue to be one of the leading countries when it comes to tourism development. That's why it is so important from the government's point of view to invest in infrastructure like water supply, wastewater treatment, electricity, and so on, because solid waste treatment, we want our tourists to come back, not to come to Montenegro once and then never to return. So it is important that we are committed to solving problems which are crucial for the future tourism development, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we will continue doing in years to come. The energy sector might be one of the key development areas in Montenegro. The fact that our hydro potential has been used to only 17% tells a lot, but it's not only hydro potential that could be used in Montenegro as a resource to make business from, but it's also thermal plants and renewables as global warming and climate changes affect many industries, including energy industry. We'd like to see Montenegro developing as center for regional operations in terms that our business environment is attractive for the companies to come to Montenegro and operate region-wide, not only in Montenegro. And that's why our business environment, that's why we're building our business environment in such direction. Our corporate income tax is 9%, so the lowest in the region. Nevertheless, some other campaigns that are being circulating. Our corporate income tax is 9%, and our personal income tax is flat from 1st of January this year, and right now 15%, but it's going to drop to 9% in 2010. There's been a gradual decline in personal income tax. This year we're going to take our attention to payroll taxes as social security funds, something to be restructured and reformed. And one of the key policies we're going to keep conducting in the coming years is that year by year we have certain tax relaxation for the economy in all the fields, because that's how we see competitiveness of the country will, in the long term, bring further development. Capital flows are totally liberal. There are no restrictions to taking in money to Montenegro and taking it out. Repatriation of profit is free. Of course, at the same time, we are aware that we need to build all the mechanisms such as money laundering laws and institutions that should prevent us from anything that might cause harm to our market. Because we'd like to build our economy as an open and flexible economy with strong institutions. That's basically what I would like to say for the introduction, and I'm looking forward to any questions that might be asked. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks very much. We were talking at the beginning about SAA. Well, what conditionalities are there for obtaining SAA by the German presidency? What's on the table most?
We have managed to fulfill all the preconditions. It is up to European Commission bureaucracy to translate it in many languages. 22, I think, now is official, 22 official languages within the European Union. And on our side, we have managed to meet all the preconditions, such as new customs tariff and adoption of certain changes into our legislation, which is very important for the European integration process. So basically, we've on our side, and we hope that it is realistic to formalize signing procedure in coming months.
Excellent. Let's open up for questions if anybody has. I've got quite a few, but while we wait for them, let me ask you a couple. You said 85% is privatized of the Montenegrin economy. Who are the major investments? Because we hear a lot about Russian investment in Montenegro. How true is this? How much have they bought of former state property?
It's definitely been exaggerated a little bit. Mm-hmm. Of course, country which is which wants to open up its economy, wants to run market policy. The most important thing is that you get best investors in all the fields in a transparent procedures. So when you look at the list of investors in Montenegro, you will find a lot of different countries, from Japan to the United States. One of the leading investors in Montenegro are, for example, Deutsche Telekom, which through Hungarian Telecom has acquired Montenegro. Then we've got in cell phone industry, Telenor from Norway, which is a quite huge company in that field. Hellenic Petroleum from Greece acquired the Arrow oil company 5 years ago. Societe Generale took one of our largest banks in privatization procedure 2 years ago. OTP from Hungary, one of the very large banks, recently took over the largest bank in Montenegro, which was at that time already private bank. And it was a private bank from early days. Then there is Austrian investors like Hypoport, Adria Bank. Then we have in the hotel industry investors from Austria, Slovenia, and so on. From Japan, for already some time, we've had Daido Metal, which is producing those how do you call it?
Bearings,
yeah.
Bearings, ball bearings,
yeah. And many others. The major Russian investor, obviously, is Rusal, which has taken our aluminium plant. But there's nothing to be justified from that fact, because Rusal is one of the largest world companies in aluminium production, and so on. So. We've seen a lot of investors coming from many countries, and this is only, I'm talking only about government projects like privatization or restructuring. But there's been a lot of investors from Belgium, from Norway, from other countries who come and invest in Brentford through either foreign direct investment or portfolio investments or through joint venture companies with our people and so on. So there's been quite the dispersed list of investors, and we're hoping to to widen it if possible. These days we're having a lot of talks with the investment community from the United States. It's like investors from the United States also taking part in Montenegrin development. We hope to receive many, because the project that we are opening up will be very attractive from the business point of view, such as resort development in some of the places, the resorts in Montenegro that are basically untouched. Mm-hmm. And as we are passing new state spatial planning decrees in the parliament these days, many of these projects will be opened up in next half a year.
But don't spoil your beaches by having too many hotels.
Absolutely, it's got to be quite modern.
Yeah.
And friendly, yeah. Environment friendly.
Yeah.
Types of reason.
What about infrastructure into the mountains, into the advert on CNN I keep watching about wild Montenegro up into the mountains? It's very wild, but the infrastructure isn't that great to get up there.
That's true, and one of the major projects we'd like to see our government initiating is highways. Mm-hmm. There are two potential highways in Montenegro to be built in the future to come. The one is obviously to connect our coast with the Serbian border, mm-hmm. and that's more costly one. 170 kilometers, roughly, is distance. The other one is Adriatic Ionian part of the highway, and it's about 20 kilometers or 60 miles, highway's distance, which belongs to Montenegro. We need to. We're a very small economy still, with the GDP of about 2.1 billion this year, and combine those highways cost about 2.7 billion euros. So we need to prioritize, we need to create sections, sort of, and create prepare set the basis for such investments. There's been already certain interest, including huge American companies which are interested in coming to Montenegro and building highways. And we are now in the process of picking up an advisor who could will help us with tender documents, feasibility studies, and so on. And we hope to come into that story soon. Of course, that's something where sometimes you take quite different position from, for example, the IMF, which is always a little bit concerned with such huge investments because it creates additional demand pressures. And we'd like to sort of fit it in the schemes if possible. Mm-hmm. Through the arrangement, if we come to one precautionary arrangement with the IMF, we'd like to fit it in the balance sheets. Because from our point of view, it is useful to have a good image also seen that way by such institutions like IMF and the World Bank. And the World Bank will be helping us in the procedure of picking up the advisor. So definitely, we are moving towards that project. The other crucial project for us is water supply and wastewater treatment along the coast. And I've already mentioned that. And regional water supply is something which is 50 million euros worth of project, and we're going to combine our own resources with World Bank and EBRD's resources, plus German KfW Development Bank is also providing support for reconstruction of the local networks, because it should be taken as a whole system. And if some of the elements is not working properly, then you have to go to the whole system. So it has been taken from the as we deal with this package.
Right. Any questions? Comments?
Please. I'm Nate Evans from India. First off, thanks for coming and speaking here. Really interesting. I've heard reports of a bit of an electricity crisis in Montenegro. I'm just wondering what, if any, plans the government had to address the issue, or privatizing the company is how you plan to address it.
There are a couple of things which relate to the electricity crisis. One I've already mentioned, and that's a long-term solution. I think it's absurd for the country that has so much resources in energy field not to use them. So there must be some combination between ecological standards, environment issues, and development of the country, and I think it could be reconciled. The spatial planning decree, which is being debated at the parliament these days, should provide us with the answer: what may be potential hydro plants in Montenegro, what rivers, what strength, and that's going to be a long-term solution, so Montenegro could easily become a net exporter of the electricity. The other issue is restructuring of the existing electricity company, which means splitting it in four: so generation, transmission, distribution of the electricity. They all should be separate companies, and then privatization strategy should respond to that. Based on some other countries' experience, or we could try a road approach, because compete, probably models. Currently, one of the most interesting issues right now in Montenegro, privatization-wise, is privatization of thermal plants, coal mines, which is part of the existing energy sector. Thermal plant is part of the electricity company, and there's been tender procedure to sell it as an asset. The owner of Rusal is the best bidder, but there's been some parking issues through negotiation process, which hasn't been completed yet, and I think it takes a little bit also political decision how to proceed with that. Because as in other countries, as in many other countries, especially European ones, there are conservative, economically not conservative, but the other way around. People who think that government still should own companies, manage them, and that's why there are some differences in views within the government.
Conservative and communist.
In European sense. That's one of the issues, and definitely in mid to short term, that should help solve the problem of the electricity crisis, because part of our current account deficit comes from the electricity imports. And the third element is energy efficiency projects, which could decrease the imports of the electricity. On our side, we're trying to promote some project together with the World Bank that's going to be part of the portfolio to come, but also already within the schooling system, reconstructing some schools, building new schools. You know, we'd like to make projects which are going to use solar energy so that we decrease traditional electricity costs. And through the public expenditure system, we think that there could be additional opportunities for that. So basically, I hope that responds to your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Just to continue on that thought with the electricity and energy sector, is there any interest in, I know you mentioned hydro and solar and traditional coal energy, is there any interest in going nuclear at all?
No. For the time being, no.
Yeah.
And I don't think there will be. These are mainly the fields of the energy that are going to be exploited in Montenegro. Is the government? To this list we could add gas and oil reserves, potential reserves that are offshore. And there are some research which should. Explain how commercial that is. So probably in years to come, gas reserves could be additionally exploited, and then, which could help Montenegro become a huge net exporter of electricity.
How dependent are you on outside sources of electricity?
But we are 100% oil dependent.
Right.
For the time being.
Yeah.
But we are 100% oil dependent, and one third of the electricity has been imported.
Yes.
100%.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no domestic production.
Right. But how much of the internal economic function is dependent on oil and gas? Are there such calculations?
Well, not I know the details at this stage. I can't know.
But let me ask you about the free trade area that's now being established. What impact is that having on the economy?
Well, In our view, it could bring only positive effects to our economy. I think we're the first country in the region that ratified the SEPTA agreement, regional free trade agreement. And in the next 5 years, we're supposed to liberalize fully our market with regards to the EU. Mm-hmm. And that's 80 to 90% of trade, as we are a very small country. So it will affect very positively our economy, as we're going to become part of a huge market in 5 years, 5 years' time. Of course, we are already necessary number of countries ratified in the region. We hope that in May or June at the latest, regional free trade sector will become effective. That's our approach to the economy, and we think that by liberalizing trade, everyone can have benefits. So countries could specialize in certain production. Consumers will benefit because of lower prices, and competition will force domestic companies to become more productive. So basically, we see only positive signs, as we don't think that our economy should be protected. We're a very small economy, and even today, average nominal tariff is about 6%. But in effective is more or less like that. So basically, it is only agricultural field of economy which has been more protected than others.
So it'd be a net gain.
Absolutely.
trade. Well, let me ask you about relations with Serbia in terms of any outstanding economic issues, in terms of two successor states and dividing up debts and assets and so on. Where do things stand?
Our experience has been quite positive with colleagues from the Serbian government, and that was one of the positive processes that took place last year following referendum results and independence, formal independence in Montenegro. We met already in June and in July for two meetings, and already in July we managed to sign the agreement to split financial assets and liabilities. And I think that was the first international agreement that Montenegro ratified. So, for the sake of curiosity, the asset and liabilities agreement with Serbia, which I think is positive in any case. That helped us a lot. Of course, transforming the union from federal state to Union of Serbia and Montenegro, economic systems also split. And it helped a lot because we already had economics and fiscal policy budgets which were completely separate. And we knew what amount of debt we were supposed to pay. So, of course, we had some open issues, but we managed to solve them. And we decided that Serbia should keep their continuity with the IMF and the World Bank, and we renewed the procedure. We got the fast track, and after 6 months' time, we became members of the IMF and the World Bank. So basically, we didn't lose anything, and we showed that nevertheless, political environment, we could sit together and agree about many things. So what remains is basically some succession items which come from even socialist Yugoslavia succession process, which refer to all the countries of ex-Yugoslavia. So I hope that along that process we will manage to solve all these issues. But for the time being, the most important ones have been solved.
So, as opposed to the conventional wisdom before you restored independence, you've actually saved money by going independent?
Well, yes. Of course, there are some nations with costs, as opening up embassies and building some institutions or opening some institutions which are necessary if you want to communicate with the world.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, the benefits for Montenegrin economy and Montenegrin society are already obvious.
Sure.
As we've managed to get out of European integration dead end street when Partnership for Peace came along, and our economy has been taken off, and so on and so on. So I think positive signs are already there.
And progress towards European Union.
I have a question about the stock exchange. There's some signs that it's possibly becoming overheated. Sort of, what would you tell investors at this point?
To keep eating. it's been already 5 years that our stock exchange is booming, and these days it continues to boom. That's market. There is more and more portfolio investments from outside, and people are supposed to know what they're doing. I think that I don't recall the exact indexes in the last 5 years, but I think that at least tenfold our market grew or has grown, and it keeps growing. Of course, there's some ceiling, as in any other market in the world. But for the time being, we see that a positive process, and our market has been the fastest growing in the region. And things like Europe, free movement of capital, and so on contribute so much. Also, from the 1st of January, there is no capital gains taxes. So anything you earn from buying and selling assets is free from taxation, and I think we're the leading country So the only personal income tax is the one you deduct from your salary. And we really believe that by having such policy, Montenegro could soon become, could keep this growing trend. Of course, again, that's market. You never know, supply, demand. But we encourage people to think of investing in Montenegro.
We have some spare money. Let me ask you one question that also kept coming up in the pre-independence debates, anti-corruption, anti-organized crime, and so on and so forth. How is that campaign going, proceeding?
Well, I think that...
Anti-money laundering.
Yeah. For example, talking about anti-money laundering, we are now in the process of writing a new law which should be fully compatible with EU directives. Relatively recently. By the European Commission. We will see how all those directives fit in our system. And we ask from our advisors who are helping us prepare such laws to tell us what should be the timing of adopting certain acquis in that area. But nevertheless, we are committed to create and build and develop all the institutions which are important for. Well, first of all, the investors and the overall political stability and the overall political system. So anti-money laundering administration is one of those. Plus, I think very recently, or half a year ago, we passed the action plan to prevent corruption and organized crime, and recently we formed the national team, which is combined of government officials, court representatives, parliamentary opposition representatives, and NGOs. It's quite wide roundtable. And we are supposed to prepare reports, quarterly reports, on how we performing on the action plan. So we are committed to that. But still, I don't think that Montenegro has a larger problem with corruption or organized crime than some other countries in the region, even some EU members. But our policy should not be to find alibis or excuses. Our policy should be to build institutions, to create legislative environment and so on, infrastructure, to prevent from those things they press. And I think that's the only and right approach.
Let me ask you, sort of related to a lot of these issues, is the question of Kosovo, which is coming up for decision time hopefully in the next few months. Is that lack of decision or ambiguity, lack of certainty along the borders, I mean, it's two of your borders, is that having an impact on investors coming in, on people seeing the region now as stable, stabilized, part of the European community?
The Kosovo issue is something we'd like to see being resolved. The sooner the possible. And our government welcomes the efforts to find compromise. I think at the end of the day, there must be some compromise. And the solution at the end of the day has to be realistic. It's got to take into account what's going on. Otherwise, we'll keep perpetuating the same problem. As Montenegro is concerned, we want to keep good neighborhood relations with all the entities. Our ex-prime minister was under spitfire from the opposition and some of the press half a year ago when he met the Kosovo prime minister. But we are realistic people, and we want to know who is responsible for solving some common problems, because there are many issues we have to tackle, like border control, like cooperation in many fields, financial services, insurance, and so on and so on. So we want to solve problems, we want to deal with day-to-day issues. Political solution to that problem, in our view, should be found in the triangle between the international community, Belgrade and Kosovo. But of course, we really call for compromise. And if anything we could do, we'll be happy to help. But we think that responsibility lies on the leadership. of course, also, I think what will be important is that EU takes a common approach to that matter. And I think that then it would be much easier for all the relevant partners in the process to take that stand.
Anybody else? You've always wanted to know. There's your opportunity to find out. Let me ask, actually, going back to tourism a little bit, in terms of cooperation with neighbouring countries, because it strikes me that, there's a lot of tourists that go, for example, to Dalmatia that may not have discovered Montenegro before. Do you have good arrangements now with the Croatian Tourist Service, with local authorities there to encourage sort of cross-border tourism?
Yeah. So, that's right. There is more and more tourists that go to Croatia, but also spend a couple of days in Montenegro. And well, we'd like to see also the opposite process taking place. But there are many tourists coming from Croatia for 1 or 2 days, sometimes in Montenegro, they take buses, go around and see. And we hope that those tourists next year will come to Montenegro and spend more time.
Yeah.
And then they
could just go for 2 days.
Hook up to the wrong. But in any case, I think it is important to cooperate. And I don't think we are competitors, but our, even including Albania, in future, our sort of offer or supply side of our tourism industry is quite competitive. And Mediterranean has always been one of the best places to spend your vacation in. And new resorts like Montenegro is definitely, as statistics show, one of the top. I think the cooperation will increase in the coming years now. And there is already quite good cooperation.
Right. What about year-round tourism, with skiing and winter resorts and so forth? Is that developing as well?
That's developing also. There are two main resorts, and I think Montenegro is lucky to have two mountains out of 5 or 6 in the region, which are the best for skiing. So it could develop as a regional winter resort, of course. That could attract some tourists from other countries. But we have to be realistic. Austria or North Italy, France, and so on are still probably more interesting for some people to go there for skiing. But including Eastern Europe. But I think by developing hotels industry there, and we are now in the process, and we hope that in the next 2 years, well, the picture of our two main mountains will change dramatically.
Right.
So that could become regional resorts.
Actually, I remember Montenegro declared itself ecological state. About the first ecological state, I think it was about 15 years ago.
2001,
yeah. Yeah. Has anything been sort of done about that since independence? In other words, to reinforce that, with ecology and all the factors associated with environmental change being so important globally, does Montenegro have a niche there that it can develop?
That's definitely one of the key issues. And In past years, we met, unfortunately, all the developments in the region, sanctions, wars, and so on, and political disputes, issues of independence, usually move move down from the list, issues like economics, standard of living, technology, and so on. Fortunately, it comes back to the top, and that's important, because in the past year or two we managed to do with the financial with the experts from the international community all the master plans, how to solve the issue of the solid waste treatment, wastewater treatment, and so on and so on. So we are now developing projects and investing in it. But along with that, I think education is something that we should definitely do, and there are ideas that our schooling system should include topics like environment awareness from early,
mm-hmm.
early grades.
So you can be a trailblazer in this.
Well, there are some countries that are already doing that, and I think that's extremely important.
Excellent. Anybody else?
No.
I'm not going to tire him too much. He's been talking so much, and we've got other meetings and so on. Thank you so much for coming. And let me just say very, very quickly, we're planning, actually, CSS is planning to do a conference in the region, most probably in Pristina, we're 100% sure, a little bit later this year, on specifically focusing on economic cooperation, development, foreign investment, as well as process of European integration. So I'd love to have you, to invite you to the conference to present Montenegro's perspective. And we plan to have, in addition to official business and NGOs and international financial institutions, European Commission people and so forth. So
I'll be pleased to receive the invitation. And thank you very much for this opportunity this morning to have this conversation. Hope other people who watch it or people who will watch it through the website are going to find this interesting. And one, going back to something I have to say, going back to tourism from Croatia coming to Montenegro and so on, the interesting thing is that there is huge demand for tickets for the Rolling Stones, which are playing in Montenegro in July. So,
okay.
From Croatia.
Right, so from James Bond to the Rolling Stones. Is there a Casino Royale now?
Well, there's no actually Casino Royale, but there are a couple of things that might look like the movie.
Well, because you could recreate, movie scenes for the movie. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Thank you.